Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1958 that which song was certified as the very first gold single? Was that A, Volare? Was it B, Catch a Falling Star? Was it C, We Are the World? Or was it D, She Loves You? First certified gold single. Which song was that? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1945 that Billboard magazine began listing a top albums chart. What was the title of that very first number one album? Was it A, Begin the Begin by Glenn Miller? Was it B, The King Cole Trio? Was it C, Take Five by Dave Brubeck? Or was it D, We Are Family by Sister Sledge? The very first album to receive a number one ranking on the Billboard charts. Which one of those mentioned above was it, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of March 13th. Well, it was on this very day back in 2004 that Luciano Pavarotti gave his final opera performance at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. 2004, today. And it was 70 years ago today, 1956, that the movie of this song I'm about to play made its premiere in Washington, D.C. Remember this one? Yes, it's the 1956 movie of Bill Haley in the Comets, Rock Around the Clock. And finally, in transitions, we have this passing announcement. Country Joe McDonald, whose anti-war song became an anthem, dies at 84. This is published in the New York Times by Jim Farber on the 8th of March, 2026. One of the starring acts at Woodstock, he and his band The Fish, came out of the Bay Area psychedelic rock scene. He went on to a long career as a solo artist. Country Joe McDonald, whose performance at Woodstock, in which he led a crowd of 400,000 through a subversive cheer before starting his satirical anti-war song, I Feel Like I'm Gonna Die Rag, struck a chord so deep it often obscured the variety and scope of his career. He died on Saturday at his home in Berkeley, California. He was 84. His death was announced by his wife, Kathy McDonald. The cause was complications of Parkinson's disease.
want to get to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
Tracy Chapman's Fast Car introduces our country and folk music news. It's titled Songs That Hit Differently as We Get Older. This is an AI overview published on the 9th of March, 2026. As we age, songs once played for their catchy hooks or danceable beats often transform into poignant reflections on time, regret, and shifting priorities. The following songs are frequently cited by listeners for hitting differently as the years pass. Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. Originally a song about a young woman's uncertainty, it becomes a deeply relatable anthem for anyone navigating the quote-unquote mountains of life and the inevitability of change. Then there's Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. What sounds like a simple story of a busy father becomes a haunting warning about misguided priorities and the cycle of misconnections between parents and children. Then there's 100 Years by Five for Fighting. This track will close out today's program. Then there's Time Marches On by Tracy Lawrence, a country staple that follows a family across decades, illustrating how the frantic energy of youth eventually settles into the quiet, sometimes somber reality of old age and loss. And then there's Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, the song playing in the background now. Often heard as a song of hope and escape in youth, it hits much harder in adulthood as a stark realization of how cycles of poverty and obligation can trap even the most ambitious dreams.
Things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone.
And then there's the song Against the Wind by Bob Seger. This classic resonates with older listeners through the lines, quote-unquote, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then, capturing the bittersweet weight of hard-won experience. Then there's Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads. While once a quirky 80s hit, its existential questioning, how did I get here, becomes a literal internal monologue for those navigating midlife and domestic routine. Then there's 7 Years by Lucas Graham, a modern look at aging that shifts from childhood memories to the anxiety of being 60 and hoping your children still visit. And finally, last but not least, The Circle Game by Joni Mitchell, a gentle but firm reminder that while we can't return to our youth, we are all part of a carousel of time that keeps turning regardless of our readiness. Pavarotti's Nessun Dorma, None Shall Sleep, introduces our classical music news. As noted in our transition section of today's program, it was on this day, back in 2004, that Pavarotti gave his final opera performance at the Met. Here's the news of that event in a 3/14/2004 New York Times article titled, Pavarotti Dies a Final Time in Last Performance at Met. This published once again on the 14th of March, 2004, in the New York Times. Luciano Pavarotti's final staged opera performance at the Metropolitan Opera was as Mario Cavaradossi in Puccini's Tosca on March 13, 2004. The 68-year-old tenor received a 15-minute standing ovation, with the Met honoring his 36-year career with a banner reading, We love you, Luciano. It was his 60th time singing this role at the Met. He made his Met debut in 1968 and performed there 373 times. Yesterday's performance closed that 36-year relationship with the company. Despite health issues, he delivered a performance that critics noted still held his signature tone. Pavarotti died just a few years later in Modena, Italy. Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven introduces our music research and technology news. It's titled, These 15 Rock Tracks Have Hidden Messages When Played Backwards. From satanic secrets to Monty Python jokes, discover 15 legendary rock tracks where the real story begins when played backward. This is written by Steve Wright on March the 4th, 2026, in BBC Music Magazine. It's one of rock music's most enduring myths and most playful creative tools. We're talking backmasking, the process of recording a sound or message backward onto a track meant to be played forward. While this technique originated with the avant-garde music, concrete, and 1960s psychedelic experimentation, it reached a fever pitch of cultural notoriety during the late 1970s and 80s. This era saw the Satanic Panic, a period where fundamentalist groups and concerned parents became convinced that rock and heavy metal bands were using subliminal messages to corrupt the youth. Whether used as a legitimate artistic choice, a cheeky prank to troll conspiracy theorists, or a purely accidental phonetic coincidence, backmasking continues to fascinate. It taps into our deep-seated curiosity about the unseen and the psychological phenomena of pareidolia, where the brain insists on finding familiar patterns in random noise. Here are 15 tracks that took the world down the rabbit hole. Backmasking tracks, and coming in at number 17, or at number 1, really, The Beatles' Rain from 1966. Widely considered the first intentional use of backmasking in popular music, Rain was born from John Lennon's late-night experimentation with a reel-to-reel tape recorder. After returning from a session, a tired Lennon accidentally threaded the tape backward and was mesmerized by the ethereal sound of his own voice. He insisted on incorporating the effect into the song's coda. If you listen to the end of the track, you'll hear Lennon singing the line, "Rain, when the rain comes, they run and hide their heads," completely in reverse. It set the stage perfectly for the psychedelic textures of the band's 1966 magnum opus, Revolver. Then at number two, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, 1971, song playing in the background now. Arguably rock's greatest year, 1971, also give us the most infamous, alleged, crucial that, case of backmasking in history. In 1982, televangelist Paul Crouch claimed that playing this rock masterpiece backward revealed a tribute to Satan. Specifically, the Bustle in Your Hedgerow section supposedly contains the words, "Here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan." Robert Plant has expressed deep frustration over this, noting that the band spent enough time trying to get the lyrics to sound right forward, let alone backward. It remains a classic example, a phonetic coincidence fueled by suggestion.
Your head is humming and it won't go, in case you don't know. The fire first calling you to join him. Dear lady, can you hear the wind blow? And did you know your stairway lies on the whispering wind?
And coming into number three is Pink Floyd, Empty Spaces from 1979. On the wall, Roger Waters decided to give the Paul is Dead investigators exactly what they were looking for, with a wink. In the left channel, there's a section of garbled speech. When reversed, Waters says, "Congratulations, you have just discovered the secret message. Please send your answer to Old Pink, care of the Funny Farm, Chalfont." Before he can finish, another voice interrupts, "Roger, Caroline's on the phone." It was a brilliant meta-joke aimed directly at the fans who spent their weekends playing records backwards. The other songs to hear backmasked messages include number four, Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, Fire on High from 1975. Number five, Iron Maiden, Still Life from 1983. Number six, Slayer, Hell Awaits from 1985. Number seven, The Beatles, Revolution Number 9 from 1968. Number eight, Soundgarden's 665 from 1988, Prince's Darling Nikki from 1984, Ozzy Osbourne's Suicide Solution from 1980, Judas Priest, Better By You, Better Than Me, 1978, number 12, The Mars Volta, Eunuch Prophet Couture from 2002, number 13, Cheap Trick, Gonna Raise Hell from 1979. Number 14, The White Stripes, Walking with a Ghost from 2005. And finally, in the back mass messages, Deep Purple, number 15, Stormbringer from 1974. So if you have access to any of those 15 tunes, why not try playing them backwards to see if you can witness any of those secret messages by backmasking in the production process. Doubtful that you'll be able to hear any, because doubtful that any of them actually exist. And in rock and pop music news, we have this from KABC in Los Angeles. The new documentary, Immediate Family, introduces us to the talented stars behind the stars in the music world. We meet four session musicians who, in the 1970s and 80s, played on some of the era's most well-known albums. But it goes beyond just that in music. These guys, now in their mid-70s, are all still playing today. The film celebrates their success while giving us quite a history lesson along the way. This documentary comes from director Denny Tedesco, who highlighted session players of the 1960s with his first documentary, The Wrecking Crew. I want to be able to share these stories with people before these stories are gone and lost, said Tedesco. Those stories go along with the songs. Tedesco says every song is a bookmark to someone's life. And now those bookmarks go back for generations. This multi-award-winning doc, Immediate Family, is now available on video on demand. I had been hesitant to make a follow-up to The Wrecking Crew, but when I was approached with the idea of The Immediate Family, I didn't think twice. The Immediate Family consists of Danny Kochmar on guitar and vocal, Leland Sklar on bass, Russ Kunkel on drums, Waddy Wachtel on guitar and vocal, and Steve Postel on guitar and vocal. They were all at the genesis of the singer-songwriter era in the 1970s. Director Denny Tedesco says, "So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1958 that which song was certified as the very first gold single? Was that A, Volare? Was it B, Catch a Falling Star? Was it C, We Are the World? Or was it D, She Loves You? And the correct answer is answer B, Perry Como's Catch a Falling Star was certified as the very first gold single on this very day back in 1958. As noted by the Library of Congress, the disc was a landmark for Como, who, in many ways, in March 1958, it was the first platter to receive a gold record certification from the Record Industry Association of America, RIAA. And in December, it secured Como the inaugural Grammy Award for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance of the Year. Catch a Falling Star was the 13th and final time that Perry Como, at the age of 46, topped the American record charts, and it became his 17th and last million-selling single. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day, back in 1945, that Billboard magazine began listing a top albums chart. What was the title of that first number one album? Was it A, Begin the Beguine by Glenn Miller? B, The King Cole Trio? Was it C, Take Five by Dave Brubeck? Or D, We Are Family by Sister Sledge? Correct answer? Answer B, The King Cole Trio. As noted in CollinsReview.com, led by the dulcet tones of Nat King Cole, the King Cole Trio was the only all-black group on Capitol Records in the 1940s. They were also the most successful group of the decade, releasing a string of top-selling singles. Released in 1944, this eight-song collection of 78 RPMs was Cole's first album, it quite possibly his best. The LP opens with Cole's first big hit, Sweet Lorraine. His immaculate voice speaks for itself, a sweet and pleasing croon that is gentle and comforting. The pop classics highlight Cole's trademark brand of charismatic and relaxed singing, and it's no surprise that the King Cole Trio was the first chart-topping album in Billboard history. So, let's close out today's program with another one of those songs that hit differently as we get older. Here's Five for Fighting's 100 Years, a song that, as noted in the AI overview downloaded on March 9th of this year, literally maps out a human lifespan from age 15 to 99, serving as a visceral reminder of how quickly 15 for a moment turns into a reflection on a life nearly spent. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
Chasing the years of my